I want to call your attention to the material that I brought with special emphasis on the Herald of Freedom there, which gives you the names of the cardinals who are known to be Freemasons. To this past Sunday's bulletin, I stapled a copy of this issue of Herald of Freedom, and then I have some extra copies. You would do me a favor if you'd make a little monetary contribution for these. But I would like for you to take these, and then if I find that you can use more, I'll bring more next time I come. This, of course, is very important material. I spoke to Mr. Capel today, and he informs me that he got a French newspaper which has a very high degree of reliability, which had also reported the Masonic affiliation of these same cardinals. I guess you know that if you call this to the attention of some of our hyper-learned clergy, you will find one of two responses. They might surprise you with a third, but I doubt it. One response will be, "Oh, now that, you can't count on that kind of thing. That's just so much talk." Or the other response will be, "Well, the Vatican has relaxed its discipline concerning Freemasonry, and we may become Masons." You will not find anywhere in print that the Freemasons or Freemasonry have changed their stripe or their spots or whatever they have, but you will find that the Conciliar Church has accommodated its thinking to where it can be very chummy with that power which from its origin meant to overthrow the Catholic Church, namely International Freemasonry. I would like very much to get some copies of this information, of this issue, into the hands of some of the local clergy. What is the most fun, of course, is to take it yourself and to, you know, ask a few questions of these clerics to see whether this means anything to them or not. I made the point Sunday that it is important for all of us to understand why you will get no reaction, reaction of any importance from either the bishop or the priests throughout the country on this account. The reason is, we might as well say it, that they are totally ignorant of the subject. But they're not totally ignorant, they're sufficiently ignorant that they will not react. Secondly, they are to no little extent Freemasons in their thinking themselves. Freemasonry, I'm sure you know, emphasizes the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. The fatherhood of God to the exclusion of the mystery of the Blessed Trinity and the Incarnation. The brotherhood of man to the exclusion of the doctrine of the Catholic Church, which teaches us that even though we are all brothers by way of Adam, we are not all supernaturally akin. Only those in the Catholic Church belong to the household of God, and we do not regard those who are the vicious enemies of the Church as being our brothers in Christ. We can course, admit, though perhaps begrudgingly, that we have a common father in Adam. But we also are aware that that fatherhood is of a lesser importance. I do not need to tell you that we abominate Freemasonry. We abominate all secret societies. We do not think that it is possible to be a Freemason and an Orthodox Catholic, because that is to create altogether incompatible condition of one's soul, whereby he claims to be a friend and believer of Christ while he is affiliated with an organization which of its very nature opposes Christ and means to destroy the Catholic Church. There is an important point to be made concerning the affiliation of these cardinals. They belong to what is called Grand Orient Freemasonry. I don't think that ideologically there is any great difference between Grand Orient Freemasonry and Scottish Rite Freemasonry, which prevails in this country, ideologically. And I don't think that there is, even in its ultimate power, any distinction. But it is known by anyone or everyone who has done any serious investigating that Grand Orient Freemasonry is hand in glove with the International Communist Conspiracy and all of its interlocking agencies. There is no doubt that Grand Orient Freemasonry is viciously anti-Catholic, conspiratorial, and that anyone who belongs to it could not do so in ignorance. Anyone who belongs to it is ipso facto excommunicated. This also applies, the excommunication applies also to Scottish Rite Freemasonry in this country. I mentioned that it is important for us to recognize why the priest will not react to the disclosure that ranking members of the church are Freemasons. It is important for us to recognize that the new mass is Freemasonic in its roots, in its innards, just like the whole operation of the Second Vatican Council was controlled by the same element. This explains, of course, why it is that the Church is now able to blend itself with Freemasonry, and why priests are not alarmed to find cardinals to be in Freemasonry. And this is why, when this, or as this information gets to be more public, it will make no more impression than a raindrop on a stone in the church at large. The point we ought to be able to arrive at is that, of course, the conciliar Catholic Church is in the control of this kind of people. I want you to remind yourselves that just because we know that these particular individuals are Freemasons, that they are not the only ones. We can well presume that there are scores of others. There is no way of knowing how many archbishops, papal nuncios, superior generals of religious communities, or priests are also members of this unholy brotherhood. But you can be sure that there is going to be no recrimination against them, and that they are going to continue to hold office, offices of great power in the Catholic Church, because, as I say, the Catholic Church is now within their grip. It is not slightly ironical that we should be considered outcasts, and that persons like Archbishop Lefebvre should be disciplined. But it is also very indicative. And what is indicated, of course, is that true faith is being persecuted and is being purged from the conciliar church. I say this in order not to alarm you, as if I could tell you anything you don't have great awareness of, but to remind you of the righteousness of what we do here and of the absolute necessity for our own fidelity and our praying to our Lord that our efforts continue and grow more strong, and that we grow more intensely, not only fortitudinous, but that we love the church in exact proportion as others hate it, and that we defend it and pray that we defend it with our lives if necessary. We'd be willing to suffer anything that our enemies might want to inflict upon us. I know that you are not so idealistic or so naive that you never think of this possibility.